First John chapter 3, first 10 verses, in him is no sin. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Did you ever think about that? I mean, just that first verse of 1 John 3. The manner of love that God's given us, and that we, those that are his, are to be called the sons of God. And that the world doesn't know us just as it didn't know him. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." That's you and I. And that's something that we're to do. Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And every man that hath this, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I don't know that you can find 10 more incredible verses in all of Scripture. I don't know that you can find 10 more humbling verses in all of Scripture. I don't know that you can find 10 more misunderstood, mispreached, mistaught verses in all of Scripture. There are no words more astounding than these right here in all of Scripture. And you cannot get around the fact that he's talking about we, the sons of God, not somebody else. He's not talking about angels. He's not talking about the heavenly host. He's talking about you and I, those that are the sons of God. And it's sad to me that so very few know why Jesus came. Do you know why Jesus came? To take away our sin. That's an incredible thing. To take away our sins. And yet you go to any church in the land and you're surrounded by so-called sinners. Well, I'm just an old sinner. And they want to dwell on their sinner status. But I just read that the manner of love is that we're to be called the sons of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Can you read? Who are the whosoever here? Only Christ? No. The angels? Who are they? And he said, now are we the sons of God. Of what seed are you? Tear or weak? Son of God or son of the devil? How shall we that are dead to sin? He wrote in Romans. Paul wrote in Romans. We're in John. Anyone know what propitiation is? We know the word spoken of in the book of Romans. Propitiation. That is, he became my sin. My propitiation. That's grace. That's the grace of the Bible. The grace of the Holy Bible. That's what grace is. He became the propitiation of my sin. He became my sin. That I or anyone else in Christ become what? His righteousness. That's grace. That's what grace is. That he became my sin. But today, grace has simply become a ticket to heaven. Just a sinner with a ticket to heaven. But that's not it at all. It's that my sins, which were many, are all gone. They're all washed away. And that's why he that's born of God doth not commit sin. They're gone. You see, the problem is most have never become a new creature. Most have never been born again. He said, you must be born again. And I can't begin to explain or express in words such. I can read about it. Even Christ himself, when Nicodemus asked him, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You know the verse, John 3:8. And hear the sound thereof, and know not when and where it goes, the Spirit of God. You have to be there. You have to have experienced that thing. I give testimony, and it's flat in comparison to the reality of what occurred in that. You see, the reality of what occurred in being born again of the Spirit of God. My sins, which were many, they're all washed away. My sins, which were scarlet, they're white as snow. And I've been to these churches and these Bible studies, and they go, oh man, I'm just no. Well, your sins are white as snow. Your sins are washed away. And the people sit idly dormant in the church. I wrote the explanation when I received this message a few days ago. Good God Almighty, man. You're telling me you've been born again in the Spirit of God and your sins have been washed away? And you sit idly? What's occurred in your life? Are you not born again? The Spirit of God? Has not the person of the Holy Ghost moved into this earthly tabernacle? No, is your body not the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost? Were you not blind, but now you see? Have not all things become new in your life? Are you not a new creature in Christ Jesus? Jesus came and he took away our sin. That's what he did. And if he didn't, you're none of his. If you turn back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Verse 6. Knowing this. He said, know this. Know it. That our old man's crucified with him. Well, he either is or he isn't. And that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Yes. And then in verse 8 he says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And why? In the middle, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Are you free from sin? I'm asking you. Are you free from sin? He died to what? Take away my sin. Did he leave a few? Could he not complete the task? Was he a failure? Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 14, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. And that's the first thing. Preacher, I'm in. But he said, you're not in the flesh. Do you believe the word of God? But in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's what? He's none of his. In verse 14, as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But most I find they're yet lepers. Not as the one healed. Turn to Luke chapter 17. You remember the 10 lepers? But one of them turned back. Luke chapter 17, verse 15, verse 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and he said, praise God. No, he said, with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I don't see that. I just don't see it. Or the lame, you turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 8 and verse 9. Peter healed this man through God. And he, leaping up, stood, and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple. Now look, walking and leaping, jumping up and down and praising God. I've been in some churches like that, but it's been a long time ago. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You know, I find we like to separate these articles of God's provisions But I don't find a difference between justification and sanctification, or propitiation. When I was born in the flesh, I was born with everything I have right now. And that was a long time ago. Everything that little boy's got right there, I've got, and everything he's got. Except some years under his belt. You see? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Where's such grace and joy in your life? Where's such leaping and praising God? Where's the peace that passeth all understanding, the shouting? Where's the rejoicing always? And again I say rejoice. And then back in Romans chapter 8, I think probably you'll find in my life all roads lead to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now look at it. Starting in verse 28. And you compare this with what we're speaking of and what we read in 1 John this morning. I love that. And we know. We. You and I. Those in Christ. And we know. That all things, do we? I'm asking you, do we? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Heard a sermon this morning on those that love God. You think it's hard to tell who loves God? It's not. Is it hard to tell who loves that little boy? Is it hard to tell who loves a girl or what man that girl, it's not hard to tell. Why should it be any harder to tell a man that loves God? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now are we the sons of God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? What are we going to say about it? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us. Man, that should stop you right there. Spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us. Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. We just read that. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can you imagine such a thing? We commit a sin, and Jesus is still to this day making intercession. Repent and ask God to forgive us. Well, you preach, you said, well, I didn't say I don't sin. I said I'm not a sinner. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? I'm asking you this morning. Are you persuaded of these things? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What more can be said? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, John the Baptist, they took his head off. Our Lord himself, Paul, Peter, John, I go on and on. I've got a book filled with it. Now you hear me. We, that's what he said, we. Those in Christ, we're in that number. If you're in Christ Jesus, if he died for you, if he became your sin, you tell me the difference between you and I and these. Did you get a different salvation than Peter? Did you have a different Savior? Did he forgive your sins in a different manner? We are the sons of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus. You'll find that right before the book of Hebrews. Right after the book of Timothy. Book of Titus, chapter 3. Starting in verse 3 down through verse 6. We, you like that? For we. For we ourselves also were, past tense, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was my life. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at chapter 2 there in Titus. Look at verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, buy us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, it's not going to be excuses. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. I don't believe you're going to find a man on the earth that hadn't heard about Jesus. Now, who loves him? Who's had their sins taken away? I'd add to this, or reinforce, you might say, that there's nothing I ever did to become my earthly dad's son. Did you do anything to become T.E. son? No. You didn't do anything to become Glenn's daughter, did you? No. Not a thing. Now, here's where men get sideways. And boy, they'll jump. If I were to go in most of the churches in the land this morning and make this comment, It'd be more kind to throw a hand grenade. Nor is there one jot or tittle for me to do to become God's son. And that's the rub. You see? I was born again that way. Actually born, but that's a Romans 9 sermon for another time. I didn't do anything to become God's son any more than I did become my earthly father's son. And I'm never more or less a son of God than I am at this very moment. I won't be more a son of God when I get to heaven. Y'all know that? As we used to preach, you're not going to sprout little wings on the way. I made a little note here. When God gave me this, I wept at the thought. You hear me? You get that and you'll know exactly who and what you are. You get this word this morning. You get these verses about we, the sons of God, why Christ came, and you'll know exactly who and what you are. I'm a blood washed, born again child of God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And my sins, which were many, they're all washed away. And my burden was lifted at Calvary. I'm a freeborn, exonerated child of the Most High God. I was once wed to sin. He was my first husband, you might say. I was married to sin. And I was bound to him by law. But you make no mistake, and you get this. There's only one way I could be free from that man. Death. He had to die. For when we were in the flesh. Did you ever read it? For when we were in the flesh. The law came on that night, June 3rd, 1985, and I died. I thought I should have two dates on my earthly tombstone, on my earthly grave. And one of them should read, born again, June 3rd, 1985. And like Peter, on that fateful evening, Jesus came to him and said, Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you, Lord. Peter, I love you, Lord. Peter, and Jesus, excuse me, the word of God says that Peter wept bitterly. He said, I love you, Lord. Such was I. And perhaps any other in Christ Jesus. Nabal was dead. Jesus, here I come. Abigail, Nabal died, and Abigail, she lit a shuck to David. We're such jubilation today. Such adoration in our beloved. Abigail, she got to David after that old Nabal, hard-hearted Nabal died. And she said, let thine handmaid be a servant. Amen. It's not hard to tell whose sins have been forgiven. It's an eternal thing. It's a lifelong adoration. Any wonder the cries in Revelation of glory, 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 and they shouted, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My sins, which were many, are all washed away. Where I was blind, now I see. Are you still struggling in sin? You know, Paul came out of that in Romans chapter 7. Go back to the book of Romans. Go to Romans chapter 7. Verse 24 and verse 25. Paul said, finally in the end of it, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How am I going to get out of this thing? You might be asking yourself that this morning. Who's going to deliver me? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. If you're waiting to physically die for such, it'll be too late. He said, for when we were in the flesh. If you're yet carnal, sold under sin, as Paul was, you're yet under the law. Paul said in verse 14 of Romans 7, he said, for we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. But we know that Paul came out of that thing. Because carnal mind's enmity with God. Paul was no longer God's enemy. You see? He was no longer sold under sin. We just read about it. We've been speaking about it at this hour. Are you yet married to another? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's that. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, how'd that happen? How can that be? And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Now I'd like to close this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. One more verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Now look, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. I've told you many times, until you get to that point where he says, it is finished. I find very few. In this walk of faith, I've found very few men that know of that moment when he said, it is finished. Over. Done. I've told you that people told me for years, preacher, you better not. You better not, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. Fall from what? I already fell. That's why he picked me up. I'd already fallen. I was born fallen. I was born lame. I was born blind. I was conceived in sin. But he came for one reason. Become my sin. It's either finished or it's not. What a glorious thing. And now, beloved, are we the sons of God.